Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele. And coming up in this week's show, we have The Lord of the Rings potentially being remade as a TV series. We've got news on Hayao Miyazaki, because we always... Don't we always have news on Hayao Miyazaki?
We try to.
Jar Jar Binks wants more publicity brought to him, and I'll explain why he might possibly get it in a minute. But first, the big news of the week. Top Gear, no, I'm sorry, it's Grand Tour has finally got a release date of December 8th. I think that is the biggest news to cut. I'm making it up. Actually, they do have that release date. Biggest news of the week is Thor. Because did anything else come out this week? Okay, yeah, it did, but it did it do as good? Let's think a minute. Thor is supposed to pass the $400 million mark worldwide by the end of the weekend, which is just $49 million shy of everything the original Thor made. Could it have been a good weekend? One of us went to got the opportunity to go see it, and unfortunately it wasn't me. Todd, tell us about Tho.
Oh no, I thought it was you. Oh. Dang it.
Oh, whoops.
It was a very enjoyable, happy, fun movie. It is the highest rated as far as Rotten Tomatoes, as far as critic score film in the Marvel universe, which is pretty interesting because several of them have done well. That is very impressive. It's just to get this out of the way, it is not my favorite Marvel Universe movie. And I'm in the minority here. I really, really liked it. I'm not in the minority on that. But I think the director almost went a little bit to the side of making it a big, fun, happy popcorn movie, which that's what they should be. I get that. But it's also about the destruction of a world. And it seems the overall tone is just a little too light for that. They address it within the film, because after all, it's about Ragnarok, and if you're not up on your Norse mythology, Ragnarok is the destruction of Norse mythology.
It's the Nordic end of, for Armageddon.
Yeah, exactly. It's the end of Asgard, it's the end of the gods, it's the end of everything. That's the whole point. And so the tone, to me, doesn't quite match that theme, but the movie is extremely entertaining. It's crazy entertaining. It's so much fun. So a comic book movie should be. So the only reason I say maybe it should have been a little darker, and here I am the one who's constantly harping about why Warner Brothers DC movies are too damn dark. But this is about the end of the world, you know, which of course most comic book movies are at one point or another, right? I get that.
With but the this sky is, beam. Don't forget the sky beam.
Yeah. Hey, then there's no sky beam here, which is pretty nice. Wow. No sky beam, which is nice. Very lovely. I enjoyed the hell out of that. But the movie is just so fun. I mean, going on the trailers, you think, wow, this is going to be really light and entertaining and fun. And it is probably twice as light and entertaining as fun as you expected it to be. Because there is so much in this movie that, unlike a lot of trailers where, oh, we showed you all the best scenes, far, far from it. Not even close.
Good, because they showed us some great stuff in the trailer.
They did show a lot of great stuff in the trailer, and there's tons more great stuff in this movie. It's excellent. Everyone is terrific. The one character who does kind of maintain the darkness, Kate Blanchett plays Hela. She should be kind of a dark character, because after all, she is the goddess of death. So she shouldn't be all happy-go-lucky, typically.
You'd think.
And she is awesome. But Chris Hemsworth, if you... unfortunately saw the Ghostbusters reboot, remake, whatever, the one that was not very funny because the script sucked,
just a touch.
Hemsworth was excellent in that and very, very funny, and the dude definitely has some amazing comedy chops to match his, what does he have, like a 16 pack? My god, this guy's got, he looks like Thor, as he should physically.
Well, yeah.
And then he is hilarious in this, and also dangerous, as the God of Thunder should be. And Mark Ruffalo is terrific as Hulk/Banner. Everybody is great in this movie. Scourge, he's definitely a minor character. I expected a little more from Scourge, but that's okay.
That's what I've been hearing as the drawback, is strangely from Carl Urban, of all people.
Yeah.
Who I love Carl Urban, but...
Oh, I do. And so, to me, Carl Urban was kind of a waste in this. They could have just thrown somebody in. It just didn't matter who they threw in, because there's just not that much for Scourge in this movie, which is unfortunate. Which, again, plays towards maybe they should have had a little bit more, push the darkness of this story a little bit more than they did. But
setting it up for a Scourge solo movie. No, I'm kidding.
If it was DC, they probably would have come out with that before Thor Ragnarok. They would have had director conflicts. But Thor Ragnarok is absolutely a blast. Super fun. And again, probably could have had a little bit more of the dark moments, because it is, you know, facing the end of their world and existence, basically. But there are so many great scenes. The trailer piece that you see of Hulk leaping into the face of Surtur, the gigantic fire demon, there's a great payoff on that. It's just really, really cool. I mean, there are so many great moments in this movie. And one of the best things of all, those of you who know rock music hopefully recognize one of the songs that is blasting during the trailer, which is the Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin. Guess what? It's in the movie, which surprised the hell out of me and made me extremely happy, because when they use it, it fits perfectly. Think of Guardians of the Galaxy and how those songs fit in the scenes that they're in, and it's exactly the same vibe in this. And of course, the Immigrant Song and Thor, you know,
fits,
and it's brilliant that they use that, and it's brilliant that they managed to come up with the money to pay Led Zeppelin for the rights to this, to actually use it in the film, and I'm so happy they did, because it sounds weird, but that's one of the highlights of the movie, because it's like, oh my god, that it fits so well. I mean, it's, to me, that's like the best use of a rock song in a movie off the top of my head that I can think of ever, because it fits so damn well thematically and cinematically, and it's a great damn song anyway.
I'm going to actually throw out the use of Sabotage in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, you know what?
Which worked as a...
It really
worked with the way they did it.
Oh, it did. So maybe co-winners, or maybe Sabotage actually still was better, because... Same thing. That was the highlight of the movie for me, because that was perfect.
Well, no, the other highlight of the movie, different movie, but weirdly same song. It was Immigrant Song in And I've Got Kids, Therefore I Watched Shrek 3.
Well, I did not inflict myself with any of the Shrek films after the second one, so.
As well you should not, but I will still ask you to look up on YouTube.
I will do that.
Shrek 3 and Immigrant Song. Because of the way that song begins, mm-hmm. and the way it is used in this movie as casting a spell. It really, really works, but they only had it in the movie for about maybe 15 seconds before they switched to, it was a heart song for some reason, which did not fit.
Barracuda, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's what it was.
Because it would absolutely not fit in the same scene, but...
No. But...
Anyway, Thor...
When you get the music right...
Oh, yeah.
Boy, does it, like... you mentioned... what was it? Atomic Blonde a few weeks ago, which
right.
I just recently got the chance to see, and the music in that was brilliant.
Isn't it though? Yeah.
And a lot of it I liked anyway. It threw me off that there was a Susie and the Banshees song. Well done for pulling that back out, because I still like Susie and the Banshees.
Atomic Blonde is a fun, fun movie.
It is. Although I'm expecting Thoe to be better.
Yeah, Thoe is more fun and better. And like, for me, it's not the best Marvel Universe movie yet. Hopefully, that's still coming. But, yeah, it sets up things up for the next step, as they all do beautifully. And yet, it's this great self-contained piece. And there are little references to things that happened before. There are throwbacks. I mean, this could be the first Marvel movie you've seen, and you'd be perfectly entertained. You would not be lost wondering what's going on. But of course, you're going to be much more happier, because there are callbacks to other things, but plot doesn't depend on it.
Right.
But it references
it can stand on its own.
Absolutely. And it's extremely, this is a great example of why Marvel is still kicking Warner Brothers DC's ass and on the big screen, is because they're able to bring in directors with very different backgrounds and still stay within the context and within the overall theme of what their universe looks like. I mean, we went from Kenneth Branagh started off Thor,
yeah,
to a guy who directs comedies, and it's still the same character, and it still flows, and it's still obviously it's the same world, and it absolutely works. Figgy Feige, just sounds like an incantation. He's doing a terrific job. Absolutely brilliant job, because he's not missed a step yet, basically.
I am going to ask you this.
Ask me this.
Warner Brothers decided to put it up for Oscar consideration. Their logic being, hey, if Suicide Squad can win something, maybe this should too. Is Thor Oscar worthy?
Oh, yeah.
In what categories? I mean, we're going to have special effects.
Special effects and things, but score.
Okay.
And it's partly because The Immigrant Song fits so well, but overall the score is excellent. I don't know if it would make it in for either direction or script, but...
Would Valkyrie
I would go for either one.
Would she get a not best actress, but the next step, supporting? That's the word I'm looking for.
No one in this movie is going to get nominated for acting, and it's not that they're not good. They are. They're very good. But there's none of the real depth that you would need to get that, because it's all at a lighter level. Which, again, they wanted a popcorn movie and they got it. I mean, it's perfect for what it's meant to be. Just I would have liked it a little darker, but yeah, everybody
in it can great. Win.
Yeah, geez, but I can see, like, to me the real drawback is Carl Urban is pretty much wasted, because Carl Urban is great and he just doesn't have much to do in that role. And that's how they wanted it. That's
what it'd have been.
Would it have been a perfect movie if they had handled his role better? No, maybe he would have been closer to perfect. But if that's the big flaw, and to me that's, I guess, the biggest flaw, doesn't matter, dude. I mean, this movie is so much fun. It is an absolute blast. Go see it. And by the way, not opening night, but opening weekend, the movie pass thing, no problems.
Hey.
So even huge event movies like this, MoviePass works. So definitely go to MoviePass.com and subscribe and be prepared to wait a couple weeks before you get your card, but it's definitely worth it. No 3D, no IMAX.
Oh, well. Oh, darn.
So get over that. Pay your own money for that.
So if that's the beginning of the bad news, we've got a bad news and we've got just a weird news story. Which one do you want to go to first, bad or weird?
Oh, let's get rid of the bad.
Let's get rid of the bad. Kevin Spacey. This goes with the Oscar-worthy stuff.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's not going to get much worse than that. It does bother me that Netflix cut him completely.
Mm-hmm.
There's an accusation. Get him off of House of Cards? Is that what it was? Game of Cards, Throne of Evil, something.
Throne of Evil.
He played the president. Who and just an accusation got him kicked off the show, which means he's not the president anymore, whereas we have an actual president. No, wait, that's not where I wanted to go with this, although it fits. Things like this happen, I am not condoning what he allegedly did, if he actually did it. We still just have allegations that I know of. Does this, and this is what I wanted to bring up with it, because Kevin Spacey has done some really cool movies.
He has.
In my mind, I am not going to not have the annual watch of The Usual Suspects, because I watch that probably a couple times a year because I think it's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Is what he's going through now going to diminish what he has done before in your mind? Or
yeah. Because it always does. I mean, look what's happened with Woody Allen's of course, Woody Allen's movies aren't as good as Woody Allen's movies used to be, but
yeah, well, Bill Cosby,
you know, absolutely, it's going to diminish his work, which that's an entirely different conversation over whether it should or not. And to me, I think that's just kind of a personal choice. I mean, if someone has done the things that they've been alleged to have done, and then you have to decide, okay, do I want to support that person? Well, if you already have it, and if you've already paid for it, then to me, there's no point in not watching it, because you're not adding to their wealth, because you already did it. But at the same time, you may not want to watch anything that they've done anymore. And again, that's your choice. Everyone's personal choice. It's like, nope, done.
Good luck selling it at the yard sale.
Yeah, exactly. You're a bastard. I'm not watching any of your work. You're dead to me. And that's everybody's right individually. Spacey, the interesting thing is when the Weinstein allegations came out, and I was actually speaking with our good friend Ted on his show a couple of weeks ago about this, and we're talking about if this is going to be the tipping point. And I said it would be nice, but I don't think it would be, because this kind of stuff happens all the time. Bill Cosby. And
well, there's been like 8 since Kevin Spacey was announced on Monday?
Exactly. And apparently Weinstein was the tipping point, because for whatever reason, maybe because he's powerful enough, or was, that gave people courage to say, well, if they can talk about him, I can certainly talk about. And so people have just come out left and right about issues that have happened in the past, which is a very good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not happy that this happened, obviously, but I'm happy that people are finding the courage to come forward and accuse people, and not accuse people, but say, hey, this happened to me. It may have been 20 years ago, but I was afraid to just say, this is what went on. And I know the one thing about Spacey talking about how he came out. He famously came out.
That's where I was going next with this.
Excuse me, buddy. I mean, you've been waiting 20 years to do a biography of Bobby Darin. It's like, it's no shock that you're gay. It's okay that you're gay. You should have said that decades ago. Nobody would have cared if you'd come out certainly 10 years ago, or probably even 20 years ago. But to now come out and act like, well, this is the reason. What? No, dude, it's not the same thing.
When he came out, I got the feeling that it was just because the accusation was from, you know, a 14-year-old male.
Right.
That it was more of a, by the way, yes, I am gay. I don't know that it was a pity me. Was it a pity me because I'm gay thing that he did?
Why mention it? Why even talk about it? I mean, why say, oh, well.
Well, because the accusation was from a male, so he could go, by the way, yes, I am. But
just to me, it's just trying to deflect from the issue at hand, which is assault. The gender and the sexuality didn't make any difference, and it's just
it shouldn't.
I thought that was just a cheap move on his part. That's how I took it, and maybe it was strictly, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, well, since that came out, sure, I'm gay. But it's like, dude, that's nobody cares about that right now. Nobody cared about it before, and they certainly don't care about it now.
I thought he already had come out, so.
I kind of thought he had too, because, like, to me, it was pretty obvious, and it's not like it's a big issue at all, let alone a bad thing. So it's just kind of like, oh, so what, Kevin? That's fine. But yeah, it's just the list is just going on and on and on. I mean, Dustin Hoffman is another one who admitted and apologized. And I mean, a ton of people are coming out, and now it's spreading like wildfire into other areas, like the British Parliament is getting
Don't spread like wildfire in California. They're having enough trouble as it is.
Yeah, aren't they, though? So this is a good thing, and maybe eventually it will lead to someone who talked about how, you know, you can grab them by the whatever and they don't care. That would be pleasant if it actually gets to the point where it goes to someone that actually matters, as opposed to
actors,
movie studio heads. Who gives a crap? I mean, those people who were affected, of course they do. Right. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, unless this pervades society and people are no longer afraid to speak out against their boss in whatever their job is, it's all just kind of noise. So hopefully this continues.
That would be a good thing.
That would be a great thing. Anyway.
This isn't necessarily bad news. It's just weird that it came out in the middle of all this. It has to do with Osama bin Laden. Did you see this week?
Extremely weird news. Extremely weird news.
6 years after the raid of Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan, they discovered a computer that had a lot of animated movies on it? Question mark. Apparently, he's a fan of movies like Ants and Home on the Range and Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. And you kind of think, really? But I loved how this was brought out, that he loves all these animated films and video games like Final Fantasy VII and Resident Evil. And he had a documentary on the computer called Where in the World is Osama bin Laden / yes. Carmen Sandiego. And the last sentence that goes along with this article was, along with a bunch of BBC and National Geographic documentaries and porn.
Nice.
And you kind of go, well, what? What do you make out of the release of all this? I don't get it.
There were a lot of kids at that article. I'm looking at the same article, and there were a lot of kids in the compound. So it certainly could have been, and more likely that the animated flicks were for the kids. Right. But I don't think the porn was for the kids. I have a feeling the porn was not for the kids. To me, that's the most interesting thing, along with the fact that he had the documentary about
where he is.
Where he is, yeah.
Where am I?
Kind of bizarre. One of the comments though is excellent. So we finally only found him because he was downloading from the Pirate Bay.
There you go.
Which is beautiful. That would be really funny if that was actually some of the intelligence. But it's interesting that it came out now at this point. But
it's Kevin Spacey.
Yes, but it is weird. It is weird news. It's not bad news. It's not good news, but it certainly is weird.
Nothing we can do about it now. He's a bit on the dead side.
He is a bit on the dead side, but I wonder if they're going to sue his estate for the illegal downloads. Of course, I don't know that they were illegal. It didn't say that they were illegal.
He didn't.
He could have purchased them legally.
He had an iTunes
account. Yeah, had an iTunes account and just legally purchased all those films. Oh, except for the
power of Netflix. Or maybe Amazon. Amazon Studios has apparently come out as a potential buyer of a TV show from Warner Brothers Television. That's not a big shock. The thing that throws me off is the TV show in question is called The Lord of the Rings. Now, I realize that the Lord of the Rings movies, and this is bizarre to think of it this way because I don't think of them as being coming up on 20 years old, really. 17. I'm sorry, I'm rounding. Just like my daughter's math class taught me to. Do you think of the Lord of the Rings movies as being that old, and do we really need it to be adapted to TV?
I don't think of them as being that old, and I don't think we need them to be adapted for TV, because...
Me neither.
Yeah, I mean, there are some untold segments still, despite the extreme length of the films, but do they really think they're going to do a better job?
I don't see how they can.
Or I don't either. Or are they going to give a different approach? I don't really know what approach that would be. So those are the two reasons that you redo something typically. You're going to do a better job, or you're going to take a different look at it and make so, you know, are they gonna, I guess they could do it from, you know, the view of some random goblin or something that's like, oh, this is my take on it. That actually might be kind of interesting. But I'm sure that's not what they're going to do.
No, but part two of Ralph Batsky's animated version. No,
that I would see, but not as a TV series either.
No.
So yeah, that makes zero sense to me. Zero sense. And I'm sure they would get people to watch, but I probably would watch,
but at the same time, I'd be going, the movie did this better, did this better, did this better, did this better.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really see the point.
I don't see the point of that either. Speaking of other things that are looking for networks, there's a new show from Marvel called The New Warriors, which is the one with Squirrel Girl, who, I'm sorry, that's still a hard character for me to wrap my head around. They filmed the pilot, and they showed it to a number of people who said, this show is awesome! And now it's not going to be shown on the Freeform network anymore. They're shopping it around to bigger networks.
Interesting.
Wasn't what I would have expected. So, I mean, it could end up on ABC, which is weird because Marvel owns that already. Of course, they also own Freeform. It was just bizarre because I wouldn't have expected this group, even with the utter bizarre popularity of Squirrel Girl. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble getting past that character even existing.
Do not diss the Squirrel Girl.
Why not?
Squirrel Girl is the most powerful entity in the Marvel Universe. Everybody knows this.
No.
Makes Captain Marvel look like who's the kid who was Hulk's friend way back when?
Oh.
The Marvel version of Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, Rick Jones.
Rick Jones.
Yeah, makes Captain Marvel look like Rick Jones, for God's sakes. So, you know, come on. You got to be down with a Squirrel Girl.
All right, how about some better Marvel news?
The unbeatable, invincible, unholy Squirrel Girl.
Unholy? Is that a new thing?
Yeah, it's a crossover with this, by the way, this is the first crossover with DC of the latest thing. She's going to be working with Constantine. So there you are.
What? Please tell me you made that up.
I totally made that up.
Thank you.
That would be so much fun.
Don't do that to me. You just gave me a stroke.
I know. But I got a great what for a promo, so there you go.
Okay, sure.
Anyway.
Meanwhile, moving on.
On from the news of the fabulous Squirrel Girl.
They were talking earlier this week about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the forthcoming Avengers movie where we finally get Thanos as our big bad. And Thanos is going to have the Infinity Gauntlet, which, if you don't know Marvel by now, is... if you gather the 6 Infinity Stones, put them on the gauntlet, you can do anything. Period. Now, something they said, Joe and Anthony Russo, who are the big... what are they? They're not directing. Producing. See? You gave me a stroke. I can't even think of that word anymore. They said this week that the tone of the Avengers movie is going to be that of a heist film. Instead of a straight action, there's going to be a heist film aspect to it. And what that said to me, and I want to see if you get the same out of it, that says that Thanos doesn't have all the stones for the Infinity Gauntlet yet.
So it sounds like.
I think that's a good idea. Don't start... I mean, we know he's already got, what, 2 or 3 of them at least. Which I think is actually how the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries started in the books, was that he didn't have all of them. He was going after that last one. So I like the idea of him not starting off infinitely badassed.
Well, especially since this is really a 2-part movie, it makes perfect sense for at least the first half of the first one to be him. Going after the Infinity Stones, and since he has to go throughout the Marvel Universe in all meanings of that, this is how you can bring in all the different characters that haven't met yet. Makes perfect sense. So yeah, it's a great concept. I'm kind of sad that leaked, but
just a bit. But at this, it didn't actually leak though. They said it's going to have a heist film aspect to it. That doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't, but it's. Strongly hinted.
Yeah, I just wish they hadn't said anything about that aspect of it. I mean, it makes me happy, but I would have been better as like, or at least really close to it as like, oh, by the way, this is one of the basic concepts. You're on the path of, hey, by the time the movie comes out, you might as well have read the script 3 times because we put out so much information about it. So then again,
and yet we still don't have a trailer.
True. And then again, Thor. How many trailers did we have for Thor? I mean, it seemed like we talked about it before. It's like, my God, is there going to be anything left of the movie? Because it's so many trailers. Feels like that. And yet there is a ton of stuff in that movie that not in a trailer. And so, yeah, I rescind my earlier complaint. So keep on telling me little tidbits because I'm sure there will be much more in the film. Yay.
Hopefully they keep that up.
Yay, heist.
switching to DC for just a moment, because that's all DC has this week is just a moment. in the forthcoming Shazam movie, they're talking about getting Mark Strong to come back as a villain in his second DC movie. This time he's going to be playing Dr. Savannah, who I am absolutely unfamiliar with. Apparently he's a big bad in the Shazam / Captain Marvel of the DC version books. Any comments on this? Because I've got very little other than I like Mark Strong and I think he makes a good bad guy, but
zero comments and animals zero interest. To me, they got to prove a little more, and obviously they'll have that chance to prove a little more since Wonder Woman, because that's just a couple of weeks away, and we'll see if that pays off. You know, I'm happy because like you, so I'm going to do DC a favor and put more DC into this segment. I'm very happy with at least what we've seen of the characterization of the Flash.
Yeah,
so far looks perfect to me. Cyborg, there is no characterization so far, so hard to tell what's going on there. I mean, literally, there's nothing. There's nothing to go on with Cyborg. And Aquaman, not happy with the bro aspect of Aquaman so far. I think it's just
the
really...
The appearance, I don't mind, but it is that.
The appearance is often awesome, but I mean, this
surfer dude aspect
is ridiculous, I think. I think it's just completely stupid. And maybe this is, this is how we'll lighten it up. It's like, dude, he's a king.
Actually, he's not the king of Atlantis yet. They did announce that.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean,
And yet, that is not the way they should be going with the character.
It just seems really dumb.
They should make him German just to, I don't know.
That would be fun. Well, it'd make perfect sense when they go with the Flashpoint Paradox then, because then
there
he
would.
Go. Yeah, anyway.
So let's see, box office news, because I need to apologize to somebody. Last week, I kind of went off a bit on the movie Geostorm and said that it could be the fifth movie of the year to lose over $100 million. And I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Now, you're so wrong. That movie looks so good.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
The U.S. box office for this movie is anemic.
Fresh.
It's doing nothing. But in China, it's beating out Blade Runner, which is almost the same genre in that they're sci-fi, but that's about where the distinctions end. Geostorm this past weekend took $33 million, and Blade Runner took just over $7 million. So with this, Geostorm has hit $136 million, not counting this weekend. So it's $136.2 million, which means it's not going to lose $100 million. So sorry, I guess you did better than everyone thought you would. I'm not sure if that's the right apology I'm supposed to put with it. But that's what they're going to get from me anyway.
No, they don't deserve an apology. It's still trash. I mean, for whatever reason, it's a big hit in China. It's like, okay, good for them. But no, you don't get a pass. It's still a suck movie. And for whatever reason, they like it in China. Good.
Oh, no, I'll find a worse one. You ready for this?
I'm ready for it.
It's a Weinstein Company movie. Back in 2011... they announced they would be making Amityville, The Awakening. And they finally shot it in 2015. But it was just a flesh wound, so they finally released it this past weekend to... was it a nationwide opening? No. It went to a whopping 10 screens globally. I think it was globally. And it brought in from this 10-screen release $742. There is no million attached to that. There is no thousand attached to that.
That's nice.
It is an average of $74.20 per screen, which means someone bought a ticket and a tub of popcorn at each screen. That's horrible.
That ain't good.
Do you think that it could... Now, my question, and I guess we're going to go back to the Kevin Spacey thing for a minute. Do you think it had to do with the movie? Or was it the Weinstein thing?
I think it had zero to do with the Weinstein thing. I mean, I can't imagine...
That's what I was thinking.
Anyone that would be interested in seeing... What is this, the 90th version of the Amityville? I mean, my God, it's like a cottage industry.
That's what it is. It's the 74th version.
Or Cape Cod industry, maybe. But they keep on cranking these damn things out, and I think it's just fatigue and just the recognition that, wow, this is not opening anywhere, so this must suck.
Yeah. Which actually raises the question, do you think that the remake of Stephen King's Pet Sematary is going to do anything?
Oh, by the way, Amityville, The Awakening, I was offered this for free on Google 2 weeks ago. So that could have something to do with it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Which I took it, but I haven't watched it, so maybe I can.
Yeah, they announced that Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer, neither name I actually know, they're going to be redirecting Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm. They sound like
Paramount.
They sound like two fine beer styles, but I don't know about their work as far as directors.
Let's see. Here's another reboot. The TV series 24 is being rebooted by Fox again. Now, something I do not understand with this. It is no longer going to be a Kiefer Sutherland-based action TV show. They're keeping the same 24-hour aspect, but it's going to be a legal drama with a female lead. I'm thinking if you've got 24 set up already as the action thing and you want a female lead, make it the 24 action female lead thing. If you want it to be 24 Law and Order, 24, boom, boom, or whatever.
Right.
Then, just change the name. Why can't we have a female lead for a 24 and have it still be an action thing?
Oh, because females aren't action heroes, Sigourney Weaver. I don't know. I don't understand how...
Because Wonder Woman flopped in theaters.
Why? Yeah, I don't quite get that mindset still, because... Yeah, you should be a little bit past that at this point.
It's a Harvey Weinstein production. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Starring Kevin Spacey. No, I'm kidding.
And a couch.
I'm kidding. Something I'm allegedly not kidding about.
Allegedly not
but
kidding.
But someone else might be kidding. We can't tell. This is a weird story.
That could be a new segment. Allegedly not kidding.
Allegedly not kidding?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Solo, a Star Wars story, not about big red cups. Had a lot of reshoots because they switched from Phil Lord and Chris Miller to Ron Howard, which means this movie has three directors in the credits. And a story came out this week where Ron Howard said they started completely over and reshot the whole movie. And one of the actors went, they didn't do that. They only shot about 75%. And another actor came out and went, no, it's 50%. Are you expecting to get the Phil Lord, Chris Miller version and Ron Howard just attached his name to it at this point? I don't know what to make out of this.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing.
I have no idea, because it is very weird what they're doing here. Don't know.
I don't know.
I
don't know what to make of this.
No idea what they're doing.
Weird.
Yeah, hard to tell how much would be left.
Okay, how about this for weird stories?
Yes.
There's an actor by the name of Ahmed Best, who played a character in the Star Wars movies that everyone except George Lucas hated, in that he was the first, but here's his claim to fame is that he was the first computer generated main character in a live action movie. I get that, but it was Jar Jar Binks, which almost nullifies every good thing you could have about this. But I will, the actor is now saying, look at what Andy Serkis is doing, but I did it first. I would like more recognition. What I'm thinking is, at this point in this conversation is, yes, you get to put Ahmed Best's name down as the first guy who did it. And then everything else in this category so far goes to Andy Serkis. Because he did so much better in every aspect. I'm not necessarily knocking Ahmed Best. I think he did as good as he could do with the script he was given, because seriously, episode one can be skipped if you want to. What's your view of this? Because, I mean, yeah, but you put him down as first, but I'm sorry, dude, not the best.
Not the best. Far from the best. Close. But again, I have no idea how much that would, how much that falls on Best, because the character has terrible lines. I mean,
Misa thinks you're so right.
Yeah, the Best did what he was directed to do. And by the way, what other actors looked pretty bad in those movies? Oh, Natalie Portman, an Oscar-winning actress, looked like she was a marionette in those movies, because Lucas can't direct people.
She is Groot.
So that doesn't go on Best. But yeah, if he wants recognition for it, fine, whatever, okay. But geez, I mean,
I'm thinking at the same time, you can have him be somewhere in a history book somewhere as the first. But baseball analogy, when you think home run, do you think Babe Ruth or whoever it was that actually hit the first home run?
Yeah, exactly. See, I'm having problems with his claim that he was the first.
I think he was actually was on this scale.
But, you know, you go talk about rotoscoping, and rotoscoping had been used for decades. I mean, going back to Bakshi. Bakshi used rotoscoping a lot in Wizards, which is partly spectacular. I mean, that's a perfect thing for them.
That's actually a really good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, it is a very good movie. And it's definitely weird, but I mean, there's a lot of, it's similar to motion capture. It's not the same process, but using an actor to portray a character who is animated on the screen, that's the same concept. So I'm kind of not totally sold on his claim of, well, I was the first. It's like, okay, you're the first in this narrow little segment, and it, who cares, dude? Your analogy to Babe Ruth and who hit the first home run is perfect, because, dude, it's really immaterial that you were the first. If you want your little 15.
I will give him this. He's saying, I don't want to knock Andy Serkis, but yeah, I have some respect over here, please. And
no, you can't have some respect. I mean, you just happen to be the guy that they threw the ping pong balls on. I mean, your performance deserves no respect. And that's not on you, dude. That's because that's what you were directed to do, and that was the script you were given. But no, that's a terrible character. I mean, you know, I'm sure he hates, you know, being associated with one of the most reviled characters, not in Star Wars, but in film history, and that's not a stretch. I think he actually won that award from an AFI survey. So, and that has nothing to do with the actor. You know, he's just the guy who was stuck doing the stupid motions and reading the awful lines. But, yeah, okay. You were the first. Congratulations.
By the way, I just now looked this up. Apparently, Ross Barnes of the Chicago White Stockings, which became the Cubs later in 1876, is credited with the first ever home run.
Yay, Ross Barnes.
Moving on, Blair Witch.
Which, you know, oddly enough, he also played Jar Jar Binks in Broadway. Little known. Anyway, yes, yeah. Moving on to Blair Witch.
That's going to become a TV series as well.
Okay.
Why? They made the original movie was a, I understand it was a cultural thing, and it was a surprising thing that made a lot of money for a remarkably little budget.
It did.
And but they made a sequel and it flopped, and they remade it and it flopped. And now let's do a TV. No, don't do a TV series.
Yeah.
It's going to what's the word? Flop.
Flop. I really like the first movie because it was different. And I thought it was well done, and I thought it was scary and suspenseful, beyond the whole marketing vibe of, oh, this really happened. I mean, yeah, okay. Sadly, there were millions of people who actually thought it was a documentary, which is, that's how it was presented, but I mean, use your brain.
Right.
But it was very entertaining. I really enjoyed it. I did see the sequel, and the sequel absolutely sucked. I barely got through the sequel.
I watch movies, so you don't have to.
You got it. I have not watched the remake yet. At some point, I will, just to suffer, so then you don't have to, in case you're like up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you think, oh, this is on, and that way I can spare you that pain.
But, waiting for it to come on PBS.
But, yeah, makes zero sense, except for the fact that it's name recognition. You know, they've got the bare bones of the plot. So half of their work is done, because that's about how much more work they're going to put into it, I'm sure. You know, it would be surprising if it's anything other than utter trash, because that's what the last two movies have been.
Ooh.
Which is sad.
Well, how's this? A second TV series for the CBS All Access streaming service that we may actually be interested in, first being Discovery, which I still think is very good.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about remaking The Twilight Zone again, which I think this would be is this the fourth or fifth version?
I think it'd be the fourth.
So no, there was the one in 85, yeah, which was really good. There was one really in early 2000s, I think. But yeah, those are the only ones coming to mind, and I was thinking there was another. Anywho, Jordan Peele is attached to it.
Which is nice.
So that ought to be interesting. I think it could be a good thing to bring back the Ye Oldie Rod Serling series. Because there's still a lot of stuff that you can do with that series.
Oh, tons.
Although some of us feel like we're living in it now, if you look at...
Yeah, that's kind of thinking that.
Look around.
Kind of thinking that. Okay, so there was a
picture, if you will,
picture,
a planet where they elect.
Yeah, this would be the fourth.
A reality star as the president. What?
Yeah, that's its own series, its own Twilight Zone series. But yeah, I like that because, I think I caught maybe just one or two episodes of the 2000 run, but I caught most of the 85 series, and it was very well done.
Yes.
And the original is absolutely a classic. It's excellent. I'd be curious. One of the things I'm curious is to see, are they going to redo? What I'd like to see them is do a mix, is redo some of the old classic episodes. Perhaps change up some of those that weren't absolute classics and see what they can do with them if they put a new spin on it. Also very interesting to see who the host is going to be. Because
that would be interesting.
Because that's critical, I think.
Weirdo Yankovic. I'm kidding.
I'm hoping that would be not the case. But it would make perfect sense to have Peele be the host.
Right.
I kind of hope he certainly gets my vote for doing that. That would be nice. Yeah, I'd be interested to see where exactly they go with it. But I do hope that he doesn't go campy with it. That he doesn't do a shtick on Rod Serling. That he does it straight. Now, if he wants to occasionally do something like that, because Hitchcock, of course, did the same thing as Serling, and he hosted his TV shows, his little plays, and they were all very much tongue-in-cheek, and they were lighthearted. So I can see maybe on an occasional episode, because there were a lot of comic episodes of The Twilight Zone, and I can see him doing that for as well. But I would not want to see it just done as just kind of an ongoing shtick. So we'll see. But I was not a gigantic fan of Get Out. I mean, I really liked it, but I didn't think it was like the best movie of the year, which you look at the ratings and overall, that's pretty much where it's at.
Right.
I was very good. And then definitely. And I think he's an excellent, excellent choice to head this up. So we will see. But as you said, boy, that's another reason to keep CBS all CBS Access for sure.
Neighborhood Block Party.
Neighborhood Block Party. So, but isn't Marvel it interesting? R. I'm sorry, but isn't it interesting that they're going back to the 60s?
A lot.
to get what would probably be their two most popular shows on that particular venue. Very, very odd. Anyway.
Yeah, Mark Millar has come up with movies of late that haven't done too bad. Wanted, I think, is his least blockbustery one, but it even that did fairly good and has gotten a big cult following. Kick-Ass did fairly well. Kingsman is doing really well. And now he has a new home for them on Netflix where they could be, I mean, just rebooting his little universe as Netflix properties. Because apparently all of those series are tied together. I did not realize that. But I didn't realize that all of Stephen King's were all, just because they're all set in Maine, I didn't realize they were all tied together. There's not a whole lot of details that go with this yet. But I think it's, you know, interesting idea.
It is. Netflix, jeez. At some point, Netflix is going to be doing a series on Whole Foods versus Aldi's or something. I mean, they're turning everything into a property. I think they have 80 series in the works for the 2018 season, which is
a lot.
That is a lot. It's pretty incredible. And obviously there are some properties that don't work. I mean, they have had finally some cancellations. Stranger Things, the second season's come out finally, and I've caught a couple of the episodes, and so far it's excellent. And that's certainly not one of the series that is going to be in any danger of disappearing.
Nope.
And that's done huge, so...
And if there's an Iron Fist season 2, then I suspect all the Marvel stuff is just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no reason to think that they're ever going to stop just continuing to develop more and more properties, because overall, I think they've got a pretty good batting average. You look at the Marvel properties, and Iron Fist, yeah, it wasn't great, but really that's only in comparison to the other Marvel properties on Netflix. Because if that had been the first one, people probably would have said, yeah, that was pretty good. So Danny Rand's characterization still bothers me. But besides that,
so
I'm on board with them getting more and more worlds for people to be involved in. I mean, Nielsen actually somehow thinks they've cracked the code on Netflix viewership. And supposedly almost 16 million people watch the first episode of Stranger Things 2.
Wow.
That's a bunch. This Is Us, which is the top rated movie, or not movie, but TV show, on live, on regular free television, 17.8 million. So close to network ratings. That's pretty amazing. And also that story said about, I think, some 500,000 people had already watched all of the episodes of Stranger Things 2 within the 24 hours of its release.
So, speed binging.
Yeah, binging be alive, that's for sure. So, yeah. Mark Miller's stuff.
The lag on Netflix this weekend.
Always does. Anytime something like that comes out, that is one of the problems. I mean, to me, the biggest one is still Luke Cage. They just, man, they had issues that whole weekend when Luke Cage hit, which I think is kind of cool. Very, very cool that, oh, look, a black superhero from the 70s, and people are going ape blank over it. So, makes me happy.
Good for them. And now, the final story that I've got, and it's good news.
Yay!
Hayao Miyazaki is working on his last film. And it's actually got a title now. And bear with me, I'm going to try to pronounce it in Japanese. Kimitachi Wado Ikiruka, which somehow translates to "How do you live?" It's supposedly inspired by a 1937 book by author, oh boy, Genzaburo Yoshino. Okay. I think anything Miyazaki does is awesome. So anytime he wants to do another movie, I'm all for it. Although it looks like this isn't going to come out for another 3 years or so, because it takes a while for him to do the awesome job that he does.
It does, because people actually sit down and make these, as opposed to people sit down on a computer and make them, and it's a hornball process. Interesting that now we have a new Miyazaki's last movie. Hopefully this story is, the story about this film is accurate, but the fact that it's his last one, hopefully that's inaccurate, because he already released his last movie, which was very good. Really enjoyed
it.
The Wind Rises, yeah. And at the time, that was his last movie. So very hopeful that, again, there's one error in the story, and the fact that it's his not his last, but just simply his next. Yeah, this guy is just a world treasure. I mean, his least movies, which to me actually, The Wind Rises was the one I enjoyed the least,
and even that,
and it's an excellent movie.
It is.
It's a difference because it deals in a little more adult themes, and it's adult characters, but still it's about living your dreams and the importance of that, which is, boy, that's kind of a good lesson for the kids, isn't it? Or and for adults too. So this guy is just an absolute genius. And
I understand the retirement thing. He's 70. Do you know he's 76?
He's only 76? It seems like this one, he's like 100. Because he just seems he's been around forever. So, dude, you're not even 90. You have at least three more movies in you. So.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, please.
There's an excuse.
Please don't retire. Because, man, just the brilliance of this, of his work, it's just amazing.
And we want you to stick around.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm still torn between which I like best is Princess Mononoke or Spirited Away. They're very different movies, but I mean, man, they're so good.
I still like Howl's Moving Castle, but you know, I'm weird that way.
I like Howl's Moving Castle.
I have not seen one that I haven't liked, therefore.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're all just the least of his movies are really, 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 really good. So, yeah.
We want him to stick around, but
yeah.
But we're not going to, because that was the last story.
Yes, we're not. We're done.
We're
gone. We're vapor. We're history. We have met our own Ragnarok.
But we'll be back next week with more stuff.
Yes.
I don't know what it is yet, because it hasn't happened, but we'll get back to you.
There you go. We will rise.
So, good night, everybody.
They would let me live in Montana.
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.